On behalf of the minister in session, I'd like to welcome you to Bethel this morning. If you're joining with us, we give you a very special welcome. We're glad to have Mr. Ronnie McLean, the pulpit, this morning, looking forward to his ministry from the Word of God. The announcements for the following week are as follows. The drive-in service this evening will take place in Enniskillen Farmers Mart at 7 p.m. and our brother, Mr. Ronnie McLean, will be the minister or preacher once again this evening. On Tuesday night at 8 p.m. is the prayer meeting, and our own Richard Edwards will be preaching on Tuesday night. Looking forward to that. Next Lord's Day, the service will be at 12 noon in the morning, and 7 p.m. the drive-in service, and the preacher will be the Reverend Larry Power. Please remember to pray for the drive-in gospel mission at the end of the month, on Friday the 31st of July, Saturday the 1st of August, and Lord's Day the 2nd of August, and the preacher and singer will be the Reverend William McRae. Hey, Mr. Porter's on holidays at the moment, and if you do need a ministerial visit, the Reverend Power is covering, and please contact one of the elders. All these announcements are subject to the will of God. Thank you.
We're turning to the hymn sheet, and we're going to sing the first hymn, hymn number 6, as Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. Now we're going to remain seated, I'm told, and you sing low instead of singing out loud, is what we normally, I would try to do. And so we'll go ahead. Amen. I hope they're not recording my singing anyway, because I would neither be in tune or out of tune or off tune. I wouldn't know what the tune was, but there we are. It's good to be able to sing the praises of the Lord, and it's good to be back in the house of the Lord, even in the circumstances that we're in. Let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence in Jesus' precious name. We bow down before thee, the one that is holy and righteous and almighty, the great eternal God of heaven. And we come to worship thee and adore thee and praise thee and thank thee this morning for all that thou dost mean to us. We thank thee for each one that is gathered to the house of God. We thank thee for the health and strength that we have had to be able to leave our homes and to come and even to sing the praise of the Lord and to be able to worship thee in thine own appointed way. And we ask thee that you will come and be with us this morning as we worship thee. We pray, O God, for each family connected with the church here. We ask thee that you will keep thy hand upon them. Any that are sick, we pray that you will restore them to health and strength again. Any that are cast down, that they might be uplifted, and thy hand will be upon them and help them even in these days of terrible trouble that we're living in. And we ask thee, O God, that you will protect each one connected with this church from this virus that is in our society at this particular moment in time. And that right across this land of ours and south of the border and across in the mainland, that we might, Lord, see thy hand laying upon this virus and doing away with it even in the days that lie ahead. And those that have mourned recently, we pray that you will put your loving arms around them and they might know that help that cometh from thee and from thee alone. Bless Mr. Porter this morning and his family circle at this time, and all our ministers and students and laymen at this time, that they might know that help that cometh from the Lord in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, even at this particular time. We pray for our missionaries this morning, those that are in the foreign fields and desperate situations, that, O God, you will protect them and that you will put your arms around them and draw them unto thyself, and they might know the presence of the Lord with them day by day. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even in these days of terrible trouble, that the Spirit of the living God will bring conviction of sin upon the hearts and minds of individuals that are not saved, and they might be drawn out of sin's darkness into God's marvelous light. We pray now that you will be with us for the remainder of this service, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning to 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, and to the chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and we'll read the chapter together this morning. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless this reading from his own precious word to our hearts this morning. I want us this morning, for our time together, to look at the verses 7 and 8. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I believe that we have here, and we've looked at them down through the years, these verses of Scripture, and I believe they are a tremendous help and a tremendous encouragement to God's people. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If we went over to Psalm 55 and 22, it tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter here was writing in this epistle, first of all, to the elect. Because in 1 Peter 1 and the verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And you know, it is a tremendous thing that God, the righteous, eternal, holy God of heaven, ever choose to save anyone. And what a tremendous thing to have that election. To those he preached or wrote this epistle, to those who loved Jesus. In the verse 8 of the chapter 1, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And in the verses 18 and 19, he was speaking to those who were redeemed. 1 Peter 1 and 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then in the verse 23 of that same chapter 1, to those who were born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And we get a picture here of who Peter was actually writing to. And he went further in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 9, to those who were, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To those who were strangers and pilgrims, and the verse 11 of the chapter 2, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The Apostle Peter leaves us in no doubt as to whom this letter is addressed. Not only was it applicable to the Christians of Peter's day, but as part of the elect of God, it is even today for you and I, who are the saved of the Lord. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. These words weren't just Peter's words, but they're the word of the living God that comes to your heart and to mine. What a message it contains for our comfort and consolation. The reason he wrote to them is found in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were under the heat of persecution, and it was very severe. God allows us to go through times of trial, of trouble, to purify us and to enable us to love Him more and to depend upon Him more. And don't feel odd when you feel down and when you feel depressed and when you feel the world's not treating you right, because these are things that are allowed by the eternal God of heaven, that we will be able to depend on Him and upon His word. There's three simple thoughts on the exhortation in our text: casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. First of all, there's an undisputed fact, and that's worry. Care simply means dividing or distracting the mind. It means anxiety or worry. And we all at some times worry. The old and the young, the rich and the poor, the intelligent and the ignorant, those in the church and those outside the church. Maybe you've come to the service this morning and you're full of anxiety. And you know, I never believed that I would live to see the situation that we find ourselves in over these past months. And it is unbelievable, the pressure that it has put upon people at this particular time. And of course, if you listen to all these do-gooders and scientists and all the doctors and so on coming on the news and on the radio, you would end up, you wouldn't know what to do or where to go or how to live. But if we do what the NHS tells us to do, to take our distance, wash our hands, and keep out of crowds, I believe if we do that, we do what's right, rather than listen to some of these boys. But it has created terrible problems in the minds of a lot of people. And it's something that brings anxiety. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be anxious, because nobody would want to have the virus. Maybe as perhaps sickness in your own life or in life of someone you love dearly. Death in the family can cause worry and anxiety. The family not doing what you think is right, disappointed over their companions for life. Has your job changed and pressure imposed upon you, financial pressure that was not there before? Lost maybe your job or less hours, the cut in salary that's happening all over. Financial worry can eat like a cancer into the very heart of the individual. Maybe you're sick with worry about what might happen in the future. People are worried. You get a doctor in America in one of the papers, and he said that there was going to be a virus come shortly, and it was going to kill half the people in the world. And the reason he gave was because they eat chicken out of a place in America that processed the chicken, and he didn't agree with it. And we have all those things that scare people. But, you know, God is still in control. And all that is happening in this world today is according to God's plan. And I believe it is leading up to the end time scene for the rise of the Antichrist and eventually the return of the Lord Jesus Christ again. And we need to get our minds off what's happening in the world, and we need to get our minds upon our God, the eternal God of heaven. Whatever it is, maybe you're full of care and perhaps you can't even share it with your nearest and dearest. It rests on your shoulders as a burden. And let me say this, if you have no worry in the past or no worry in the present, then be sure it'll come in the future. because man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. For this is how we feel maybe today. Then as a Christian, we dishonor our Heavenly Father. Now, let me say this. It's not easy to always honor God. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no Heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. And we need in these days to realize that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. Worry is harmful to our physical and spiritual well-being. Modern research has linked worry to the breakdown of resistance to disease, especially the digestive system, and also it affects the nervous system, causes sleepless nights, lack of joy or happiness in everyday life because of the nature of worry. Peter tells us to cast it on the Lord. Now, casting implies effort on our behalf, strength of soul. It requires effort, real work on our behalf. A fisherman, when he's casting his line, must put effort into it. Otherwise, the bait won't go where he wants it to go. And so he must put effort into it to get it where he wants it to go. Now, drugs, of course, will help to calm the mind and allow it to heal, but are never the total cure. Man needs to go to the Lord Jesus with all his cares and cast them upon the Lord. Undisputed fact, worry. And we all are, well, the only person, of course, and I've often said it before, the man that doesn't worry is the man that's sitting at the fireside and the wind blows the roof off the house and he says to the wife, where's my slippers and my coffee? And that's, he's living in fantasy land. But if you live in the real world, we all have problems and we all have to learn to cope with them. And how do we cope with those problems? We cast them upon the Lord. Secondly, we have an unchangeable friend, the Lord Jesus. Cast your care upon him. All your care upon the Lord. And when the cares of life come flooding in upon us, the Bible teaches us not to carry the heavy load by ourselves, but to take it to our Heavenly Father. Not only to take it to the Lord, but to cast it upon him. Proverbs 18 and the verse 24 tells us, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus is a friend that we can be sure that we always or will be always there for us. Never leave us nor forsake us 24/7. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who has said that? It's the eternal Son of God, the one who changes not. Malachi 3 and 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, be not consumed. I urge you today to cast all your care upon the Lord Jesus, for he is your Savior, your shepherd, and your loving and eternal friend. And what a tremendous God we have, who looks after each one of his children. We need, as Christians today, to get a right view of the eternal God whom we praise and worship and adore. And the only way in which we can get to know God is when we spend time in his presence. The reading of the Bible every day, the praying every day, the waiting before him every day is vital. You see, the world tells us to look into our own mind, and we can change with our own ability. It's all in ourselves, and there's counselors about today for everything. But the Bible tells us that God says, look up. He is in control. He is our Heavenly Father, and what a tremendous thing it is. In Isaiah 43, we have there wonderful verses of Scripture, Isaiah 43 and the verses 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you know, those are tremendous words for those of us that are saved by God's grace. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And when we come to the problems of life that we will come to, thank God we have a friend that goes through it with us. And what a tremendous thing it is to have the great eternal God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior and our Lord. God always tells us to look to Jesus for our help. You and I, as children of the King of Kings, cannot expect to be able to cast our cares upon him if we do not live close to the Lord. So many of God's children today are living defeated Christian lives because they seldom spend time before the Lord in Bible reading and prayer. They fall into private and into open sin with little or no conscience of their sin. And they still continue to act out the life as a spiritual Christian. And we see it all around us. And of course, that's one of the signs of the latter times in Thessalonians. Before the Antichrist will arise, there will be a falling away amongst those that profess the name of Christ. And that is getting worse even all around us today. Brother and sister in the Lord, you cannot expect blessing in your life, the life of your family or the church, until you confess your sin, confess your lack of reading and praying, make restitution where necessary. And it's not easy apologizing when you do something wrong. I remember many, many years ago when I was working in a shop and this man came in to complain on behalf of another man, and the man he was complaining on was an awful character. And I wasn't very nice to this man that came in. And that night, the Lord convicted me of it. And couldn't wait till he came back in the next day to apologize. And it wasn't easy. And you know, we need to, and all our dealings with our fellow men, we need to be able to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And we need in these days, maybe it's your worry today is due to sin in your life and you can't cast your care upon him because he knows about your sin. I remember a man telling me, I don't know what his sin was, but he told me that he had an awful problem with pain. And he went to the doctor and the doctor didn't know what was wrong with him. And he sent him to the hospital. And he was in the hospital and they did all the tests and they couldn't find a thing wrong with him. And yet this pain, extreme pain that he had. And he said when he was lying on the hospital bed looking up, it suddenly dawned on him that there was a sin in his life that he hadn't been prepared to give up. They said there on that bed, the Lord convicted him. And he said, I cried unto the Lord to forgive me. And he said, in a very short time, the pain left. And I was dispatched from the hospital and I've had no pain since. You see, sometimes the Lord does allow us to get to that stage that he can bring us back to himself. The channel of communication is blocked. I urge you to get on your knees before the Lord Jesus and stay there until you know forgiveness and then cast your care upon him. And 1 John 1:9, that wonderful verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, those are tremendous words. And over the years, and many, many people I've met round the doors, and they have said to me, you know, I asked the Lord to save me, but I'm not able to live the way I think I should live. And I don't know whether I'm right or not. And I said, well, it's sure that you're saved because your conscience bothers you. And you know, the sign of a Christian that's saved by God's grace is that when they do something wrong, you or I do something wrong and sin, our conscience bothers us. And if your conscience doesn't bother you when you sin, you need to look at your salvation. Because when we are saved by God's grace, we are changed by the power of God. And when we do sin, and when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 51 and verse 12, King David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Get right with God. Get right with our fellow man. A Christian with unclean hands and impure heart is not right with God. And you know, sin in a believer's life has repercussions. Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land. King David, the child, as a result of his sin, had to die. Ananias and Sapphira had to die. Miriam had a disease from the Lord. And we need in these days to realize that we need to be living a life before the unchangeable friend that we have, the eternal God of heaven. And then finally, we have the unfailing love, saving love, for he careth for you. How do we know that the Lord Jesus careth for us? By his great love for us. What a wonderful thing to know the saving love of God in our heart. To know God as love is wonderful. But to know that God loved us savingly and sent the Lord Jesus to purchase salvation for us on the cross of Calvary. What a tremendous thing it is to realize that the eternal God of heaven was prepared to send his Son into this sin-cursed world so that we could be saved from our sin and have a home in heaven. To know that we are continually on the mind of God, what knowledge. In Psalm 40 and verse 17, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." He watches over us. And 2 Chronicles 16 and the verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. He restrains our enemies. He is touched by our troubles. He gives temporal and spiritual blessings. He hears and answers our prayers. He calls us sons and daughters. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And the wonderful, wonderful blessing is that it is an everlasting love, a never-ending love. And we are sure of heaven sitting in the church this morning, saved by God's grace, as if we were there. Because God loves us, not just in eternity past, not just in life, but in all eternity. Jeremiah 31 and 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." My dear Christian friend, it's a small thing for God to expect you and I to live daily in fellowship and love for our Lord and Savior after all that he has done for us and will continue to do. When we're ill, we can't read or pray, the Lord will carry us. And you know, that is tremendous. that we have a God who is so interested in us as individuals. And sometimes people get to the stage they think there's nobody loves them. Their father and mother doesn't love them, and their friends at school doesn't love them, and university, and so on and so forth, and they get depressed and they get kicked down. But you know, there's one who never stops loving you, as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants you to depend upon him and to cast all your care upon him. As a child of God, will you not stop worrying and cast all your care upon the Lord, because he careth for you? You know, it is tremendous that if someone is down in the dumps and you don't know who to turn to, go to your bedroom, or do what some of the old people used to do, go out onto the fields, if you have a pile of fields near you, and get away and alone with God and just say, Lord, I'm beat. Help me. And you know, there's one thing certain, he hears you. And there's another thing certain, he loves you. And there's another thing certain, he will answer your prayer. Now, he may not take away your problem, but he will certainly help you to cope with it. And that is something that we need to do in these days, is depend upon the Lord. And when you want comfort, you go to God's medicine cupboard. And where do you find that? Psalm 46. You can read it this afternoon. As God's medicine cupboard, that we can use the scriptures. But maybe you're in the service this morning and you're not saved. You have no friend to cast your care upon. You have earthly friends who are good, but they really don't understand you. You need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you come to him this morning as a sinner, come and confess your sin to the Lord. You see, people confess their sins to a priest, or to sometimes even to a Protestant minister, and to the Pope, and to saints, and they can't forgive sins. But when you come and confess your sins to the Lord Jesus, he hears you, he saves you, he changes you, and he gives you new life, and you become a child of God. And you have him as a loving heavenly Father. Believe the scriptures. Put and rest upon the word of the Lord. And depend upon God's word in these days. And whatever is happening in the world around us, and it's certainly not great days, and not going to be great days in the days ahead, but there is one thing certain. God is still in control, and we need to always get that into our mind and depend upon him. And the problems of life that it brings upon us, we need to cast them upon the Lord, and he will carry us through in the days that lie ahead. May God bless his word to our hearts. We'll turn to the final hymn on the hymn sheet. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And you know, that's what we need to allow the Lord to do in these days. Have his own way. We'll remain seated and sing lowly. Let's bow together at a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee that we can come to Thee with all our cares, all our worries, all our heartaches, and cast them upon Thee, because Thou dost care for us. And we ask Thee in these days, Lord, that we're living, that we might look up and see and realize the great God that we have, our Heavenly Father, the Shepherd of the sheep. And we ask Thee that You will come and look after each one of us and bless us in these days. Part us now and take us to our homes in safety, and bless us in the evening service, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen.